And good evening and welcome to The Librarian on Authors on the Air. I am the librarian host, Tabitha Pope. This is a copyrighted and trademarked podcast owned solely by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC, on the web at authorsontheair.com. Tonight, I actually have a double show tonight, and I'm really excited about both of my guests. But the first guest I have tonight is agent Stephanie Phillips. And she has been a lifelong reader who decided in March of 2013 to start a romance blog to have a place for her where her friends could look and see what she was reading and what she thought about the most current books on the market. The title of the blog is Stephanie's Book Reports, and the link is right here on this page. Just before Stephanie's book reports turned a year old, Authors in the City began. This author book signing features romance authors from various categories each year on the second Saturday of March. 2 years ago, Stephanie started That's Novel Internet Radio Show, where she also interviews romance authors and talks about things going on in the industry. She worked for Book Trip Publishing Company as a book and project manager and had published 20 books before Book Trip announced it was closing. Stephanie began SBR Media as a literary agency to represent authors in the industry and help them reach her career goals. She's a graduate of High Point University with a BA in Human Relations with a concentration in business. And you can find out more about her and SBR Media on their website. And there are some links there as well to follow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And I'm going to bring her on the show. Welcome to the show, Stephanie.
Thank you.
How does it feel to be on the other end?
Yes, it's kind of strange, really, but it's, you know, I'm like, oh, goodness, and my bio, it sounds like it needs some work. There's a lot
you know
of
what?
Stuff
Everybody
in there.
Says that when I read their bio. I mean, almost every author tells me, oh, I need to update my bio. but it's funny. It's kind of funny that you said it, too.
Yes, it's like, oh, golly, okay. Well, I mean, it was fairly new, you know, written bio, but I'm like, oh, yeah, some of that stuff probably needs to be condensed, or I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you really do that, but listening to it, you're
get
like,
a writer to help. No, I'm kidding.
I know,
wait,
exactly.
That's what you do now.
That's exactly right. Well, it's usually me doing the one that's cutting down their stuff instead of way around, but maybe I need to ask them. Here, you write this. Tell me what it looks
right,
like, and then I'll cut it.
There you go. You go back to your normal position of, yeah, cut again. Well, welcome to the show. I'm really excited because you kind of have evolved from a romance reader and a passionate romance reader to kind of like the upper echelon of those of us that, you know, those of us down here, it's just like, how do you get into that? And you've kind of just, you've ridden the wave from a reader to a blogger and on through all of these other things that you've taken on and had this idea that you mentioned on your SBR Media about page that, you know, the authors you worked with kind of gave you, put the bug in your ear on this. So just tell me a little bit about, you know, your journey from blogger to, I mean, you know, you don't have to be very specific, but.
Well, it's been actually kind of crazy. I do have to say that I never expected to be here at this point in my life, starting a brand new career. Granted, I think my generation of people and those that are coming behind me, we have, it's been slated to change careers a number of times in our
Absolutely.
Working years. But I never really thought that now would be the time. I started a new decade in my age this year. And so I'm like, oh gosh, well, I would have thought you would have been established by now, Stephanie, but it's, you know, hey, this is a start something new. So, yes, I have been a lifelong reader. I didn't always read romance, but I started, paranormal is probably my favorite, but then of course, you know, paranormal romance, yes, I tell you, it's like crack and paper. I don't know. It's really like just give me, give me, give me, And it's kind of hard to say. So when I was working for Booktrope and the company decided that it was going to close its doors before it went bankrupt, I was working with 12, I don't know, a dozen authors maybe at that time.
Uh-huh.
I don't even remember, but it's quite a few authors. Well, a couple of them came to me and said, what do you think about being an agent? Because you have the background, you can totally do this. You can totally, you know our work, you know what we're doing, you could totally sell it. And I'm like, okay, well, that sounds like a great idea, but how do you do that? So I ordered a book on Amazon, literally, it's titled How to Become a Literary Agent, right? And so I ordered the book and started reading it, and everything that they were talking about in there, I'm like, well, I already do this now, basically, for the publishers that I work with. So it's not very difficult. The uh-huh. one thing that I didn't really consider is that I should try to see if I could apply to work at, and learn the ropes at an already established agency.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody else is thinking about doing this just right out of the park, I would highly suggest you try to work for somebody else first before doing your own thing, because it really is, those agencies that are already established, I think that they, obviously they already have the connections. They know which editors want what type of work, and not to say that always is the case, but they have a greater feel, I think, in the market. And I'm like the blind leading the blind here, I feel like, sometimes. I mean, I love all the authors that I work with that I represent, and their work. And, of course, I don't make money unless I, am working for them.
Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
Obviously, I'm motivated to do stuff for them. It's, just making those contacts and trying to get your foot in the door places for your people is, that's one of the things. And I could spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. I mean, I didn't realize how many publishing companies there are, like, worldwide.
Right, yeah.
I mean, obviously, there's the big six, five now that two of them have kind of combined. But, Random House and Penguin, they're now together. So now, I mean, they're still separate, but together, anyway, whatever. So you still have all of those, and they're, you have the predominant, U.S. companies, but then you have a gazillion of them that are foreign. And in, each country has their own, obviously, their own language, their own. So there's not like a big six for foreign,
right? Yeah,
translation. So you have, if you want foreign translation, and if you're not with, so like I, all of my authors currently are, well, all but two of them have are with a small publisher, but for the most part, all of them are indie published. So they, all of their stuff is in English. They don't have any foreign translation. And so it's
right.
Trying to comb through all of the foreign presses to see which one might be the greatest fit. Are these people still in business? Are they legitimate? Who's
right.
with these people? Trying to see, what are they buying? What are they selling for their country? Those kind of things, to see if you
uh-huh.
match, your people match with theirs.
Yeah.
So that's the difficult part. I think the most difficult part about the job, but it's, I started in April, Booktrope closed its doors May 31st. So I kind of started getting this ball rolling with SBR Media in April, started early. And I got the LLC together and started talking to several of, got my contract together. And started talking to several of the authors that I work with all the time anyway. And it just really amazed me at how they just all, I mean, I don't want to say blind trust, But it really,
they jumped on board.
Kind of feels that way. You know, because they were like, absolutely, where do I sign? You know, and I'm like, okay,
yeah.
Well, here's the thing. You know, and it's,
yeah,
I'm very grateful for their trust in me to be able to handle their, you know, their babies.
Yeah. Well, and that's exactly what they are, is their babies. So, yeah. You put all your hard work and sweat and tears and emotions and everything else into those words, and you know, you don't know what to do with it afterwards. So that's, you know, that's your job.
Right. Yes, exactly. And
so tell people who don't really know what an agent does, tell us just briefly what your job kind of entails. I mean, I know it's a lot of things, and it kind of maybe overlaps a few other job titles, but just basically what it.
Well, I guess the main thing that everybody thinks of as an agent is one that contacts and it works with like audio companies, traditional publishers, television, Broadway, if, you know, like I want to say Hollywood Foreign Press, you know, like
if you have,
you know, all of those entities, if you have somebody that wants to make a movie out of a book, all of those things, an agent is one that producers and publishers are working with. It's my job to, you know, solicit them and the books that I represent to these people and try to sell it to those that I am soliciting. And then afterwards to make sure that the payments come in correctly at the right time, and then, you know, pay the author once the money has come in, and, you know, negotiate contracts and those kind of things. There's, you know, obviously more stuff to it, but that's brief.
Yeah. So, well, it's just a lot. Yeah, it happened. And I mean, there's a lot more than just saying, hi, I have this great book that you might want to pick up and buy. Because then there's all the business end on the other side. Once they say, sure, yeah, let's take it. And yeah, there becomes all that negotiation stuff, which I'm sure your business background had a great benefit, you know, for you for that. So, where some of us are just, you know, book scholars. Yeah, you probably have a better background on that than some of us on this end. But you, why did you decide to go that route instead of publicity? Because you were doing, was it because you had done the work with Book Trove?
Well, that's a good question. right? Well, through Stephanie's book reports, I had done tours, you know, blog tours, cover reveals. I had done those kind of things for, for a number of the authors that I represent now. And I still do some of that for them. My blogger list is, I feel like, is very, very small. And I just don't have the time to go and hunt down, you know, thousands of bloggers.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, there's this law that you have to have the person's permission in order to add them to your mailing list. So I just can't go hunt down a blog and add their,
mm-hmm.
you know, like go
right.
scrolling through blogs and add their mailing addresses to my, I mean, that used to happen to me all the time. I would get random emails, you know, from people that I didn't subscribe to their list, but here's a tour. You want to participate, you know? So, and I don't feel like, I don't know. There's a number of factors that, I really, 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 I love marketing. I think that it's a great, you know, it's a great tool. But I don't think that I'm very up to date on, this makes me sound really, really old now that I'm saying it out loud, but I don't think that I'm very up to date as far as what I can, you know, how I can help my people, you know, with publicity-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of stuck myself, you know.
Yeah.
My blog, you know, just, I mean, my blog does very, very, very well. I'm not saying that that's, you know, not, but it's, I've also had 3 years to work on that, and that's, you know, been a my sole focus now for trying to do multiple people, you know, and also with publicity, it takes some capital for that. And I'm a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
So, you know, nobody pays me to stay at home, and I, you know, I really wish that that would be the case, that I could get, you know, paid to stay here with my kids.
You can, girl.
And, right, exactly. That would be a wonderful thing. But that, let me try that again. It is not, you know, that's not something that I could do. So, you know, I think because with publicity, you need, you know, connections to be able to send out like press releases, and there are entities that'll do that for you, but it costs so much money. It's ridiculous. And, you know, just to be able to fax somebody a sheet of paper for them just to turn around and slap it back on, you know, or email it to somebody and them to just slap it right on there. You know, I mean, simple cut and paste, you know, that's not, it's not hard, but it costs you, you know, like $400 and up to have that done. And for every person that you, you know, and it's,
it's,
unless I win the lottery, you know, it's not happening. So, and I am, I do have to tell you, Tabitha, I am very, my dad is an accountant. And so money has always been a very big thing, you know, like not, you know, I've been very conscious about how much I charge people, like even for the book signing. I don't want to gouge them for the signing. You know, we don't make money off of authors in the city. It's if there's anything that's left over, it's rolled into the following year. We don't make salaries. There's three of us that help put that together, and we don't make anything from the signing. And that's because I don't feel comfortable with charging more than what I feel like, you know, like I think is reasonable for the, you know, the all everything that, that goes into that. So I just don't think that I could gouge. I mean, not to say that, and I'm going to get in trouble because I'm sure people are going to be like, Stephanie said, you know, but publicists are expensive. They are not cheap, but that's because a lot of the stuff that they do costs a lot of money. And I just don't feel comfortable with, you know, with that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
I understand. So you took your passion for reading and the love of working with authors, and you went the agent route, the agency route.
This is a little bit safer for me. Well, and I've always worked in sales when I was working, and I have always worked in sales. That's always been, even when I worked for a nonprofit, I worked with the board. I'd help with fundraising, you know, all that kind of stuff. I was always doing those kind of things. So this, the selling of contracts, the selling of books is not a foreign concept to me, you know, as far as this route goes. And, you know, I believe that all of the authors that I represent have fantastic products, so to speak, you know, and that everybody should read them. And, you know, they should have their voice, right? Exactly. And they should have their voices heard worldwide, you know, and they should be in stores and, you know, all that stuff. And it's just, and I have a vast array. I mean, I have people that I have YA, an author that writes YA, and then I have, you know, all the way through, I have a lady that writes erotica. So, you know, I have the gamut on the scale. Most of them write suspense. So, you know, that's one of my favorites. So that's why I flock to these people. You know, and I do have one actually that writes psychological thrillers and, you know, dark, like romantic horror kind of. She's on the opposite. She's on the other.
Interesting. Yeah. No, that's good spectrum. Stuff, though.
Yes, it is. It is. And especially when I have a hard time reading anybody else's because I love her stuff.
Yeah, no, you get hang-ups on certain authors. I totally understand that, too. So
yes,
our,
we all have our favorites.
How has it been? What, you know, you jump into this, you've dived headfirst into this career, and you've got authors, so you're doing well, because that's the first thing that you've got to have, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how did you go about making your, I mean, obviously you got to start making connections with the different publishers and learning the edit, like you were saying, learning what the editors, like, you must have had to do a lot of research to, you know, find out who is looking for what, and that changes all the time, as we
all
see
the
with
time.
The pitch wars and things like that. So, you know, so is that something you spend a lot of time doing, the research end of your job?
Well, I need to spend more time. I feel like I could spend hours and hours and hours a day, you know, at doing those kind
of
things.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Right.
Anything to do with books, but yeah.
Anything. Well, there is a website that I use a lot that is part of Publishers Weekly. It's called Publishers Warehouse, and I utilize that tool a lot to look up editors and publishers, and to see, you know, who's been buying what material, you know, like what kind of books these editors are looking for. And then, you know, I will look sometimes websites, like if you look at Sourcebooks, they have their stuff on their website, what each editor is looking for.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, plain to see. Some of those will give you that kind of thing. Like if you look at Harlequin, that you just really, their big decision there is which imprint you want to try to send, because they all look at what comes in for their particular imprint into this one system. So it's not even just one editor that's looking at it. It's, you know, all of them for that imprint are looking at the stuff that's coming in for that designated for that imprint for Harlequin. So, you know, each and every one of them is different. You just have to kind of find, you know, reach out to whomever and see if they're interested. I have sent, you know, what I would call like blind emails to editors and saying, hi, you know, I'm Stephanie, SPR Media. Now I have 13. I just signed my 13th author.
Awesome.
And so, you know, I'm now 13, but it was 12. So I was saying, you know, before Deborah came, that I had, you know, a dozen romance authors that I represented. I was trying to look to see what they were interested in. Was there anything, you know, just kind of a blanket email just to say, is there anything particular that you like and are looking for in romance novels? Just to see if I had anything that they, you know, if any of my authors had anything that would fit that particular editor. And that's, I think, the, you know, it's like trying to figure out what clothes you want to wear for the day. To figure out which editor you want for, you know, which would be great for which
ask for really specific story. Things, like they're looking for this trope, or they're looking for this particular subgenre, and, you know, and it's a very narrow thing, and it's like, all right.
Yes. Well, one lady had said to one editor, said to me, you know, she wants anything that's a great story.
That's
wide open right there. And then I had another lady that was like, I want adult romance. Don't send anything young adult, new adult. I want adult romance with angst. Alrighty then. So, I mean, you know, it can be, you narrow it down to those traits. Or you have that wide blanket, just send me anything and let me see if I think it's a great story. Okay. You know, so you don't, it's still that game of trying to figure out who's going to be best fitted.
That's
where.
Exactly
and
what it sounds
every,
like. It's like it's a game.
Yes, it is. And I mean, I'm only submitting to like one editor at a particular publisher, and she might not be interested in it but another one might, but I don't know who they are. You know, I don't know who that person is specifically so that I could email. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like I need to learn who's who. And this is what I am referring to. What it might have been easier for me to start with another agency than just going balls to the wall, so to speak, and starting my own, you know, and to learning the different editors at each imprint or each, you know, publishing house. And so, you know, because this one over here, you know, I could send the angst book with adult romance in it and she doesn't like it. But this one over here in the next desk over, you know, the office over might fall in love with the story. So you never can tell. You just have to find, it's like a needle in a haystack, finding the right editor for the right.
Yeah. Well, and then really, I've heard a lot of authors even say that, you know, that even an author that said that they were interested, but then they didn't have the same vision of the story, you know, like they read it, but they wanted so much change that it just, at that point they were like, okay, we don't want to go here again because next, I don't want that to happen in my next story. So, so yeah, I mean, that's, it's needle in a haystack and not every shoe fits. So.
Yes. Exactly. Great analogy right there. That's
just throw it right around, just calling you Cinderella, but that's okay.
Yes. Yes, for sure.
So it's, yeah, it's definitely important, crazy. I think, for the agents to have those relationships, you know, with the different editors. And I think you probably have a little bit of a step ahead with that. Just, I know that from my end on the show, I deal with a lot of editors and publicists, just trying to get, you know, authors scheduled for the show. So just building those relationships, I'm sure you had the same opportunity with your show and with the blog and everything else. You learned how to, I don't know, make those relationships sweeter. And work it, girl.
Right, exactly. And that's the key. That's the key thing. You know, and today I was even thinking earlier while I was sitting in the car line waiting to pick my daughter up from school that I was like, you know, I wish we had like unlimited data because then I would bring my laptop with me and I could work in the car and have a, you know, like a hotspot and I wouldn't have to just wait until, because I do a lot of my work now at this time of night. And, you know, they're obviously nobody is working in New York at 8 o'clock at night. They've all gone home. Nobody's checking their emails, you know, so I have to wait for them to go back to work, obviously. Right. And then it might be days before they check their, you know, those emails. And I have a different, my schedule is a lot different than a lot of people just because, you know, I have one child at home, one in school and, you know, we still have nap times in the afternoon and I'm still reviewing for my blog. I haven't given up the blog and, you know, at all because, you know, it's mine.
That's what
you know. My name on it. And so that's the hard part. It's like, yes, I want to cut back, but then the double-edged sword there is I feel responsible because, you know, it's mine. I own it. I have this, you know, my other baby, my third baby. And I feel like I have to lead by example, you know, and then if I don't do it, the rest of my reviewers aren't going to do it, you know?
Yeah,
so that's
it's your credentials too. I mean, really, if you've been doing it that long and you've got a great following and you can put out that many reviews, then that's like having credentials right under you because, you know, you've seen a lot of books, you know what you're talking about. And that's where I think a lot of people, don't realize that if you're really well read, you're as schooled as half of the editors, because you know, really, if you're really well read, you can pick a good book and a bad book just as easy as anybody else. So now, as far as what they do when they get to the editing process, maybe not, but if you were reviewing the slush pile, heck yeah, you'd be that first person to go to. So, yeah, for sure. I wish I worked at one so I could knock some books that I've wasted my time on.
Yes, and that's the hard part. You know, it's like, I know this book is fabulous. Like this one that I sent off this morning. I know it's untitled currently, and it's only like the first four chapters, but I have the full synopsis written out by the author. I know that it is a phenomenal story. I know that when she finishes with the book, excuse me, it will be amazing. I just know it. But it's, you know, there's some life, real life aspects in the storyline. And, you know, there's a lot of angst. There's a lot of stuff happening. You know, it's like one of those, I wouldn't necessarily call it a thriller, but it might be, you know, there's going to be a lot of suspense in the story. And it's just finding the right person for that particular book. But I just know, you know, I know if it could get in a traditional market, that sucker would be a bestseller in a heartbeat because it's that kind of story. But, you know, publishing it as an indie, and that's one of the most heartbreaking things for me as an indie author, that, you know, you have to bust your tail in order to beat the masses, you know, to be seen. And, yeah, don't ask me about all that because that's another soapbox. But, you know, there's a lot. I mean, there are a lot of authors out there, and everybody deserves their chance of a market. You know, I'm not saying that people should give up writing. That's not at all what I'm trying to say there. Is, you know, there are debut authors, and then there are mid-list authors, and then there are top-list authors. And everybody is vying for that top list, and there's only a certain few that are going to make it. And it's only if, you know, a number of factors don't, you know, we'll get into that. It's your marketing plan. It's your sales force. You know, it's how you've designed your cover, you know, because.
Yeah, because believe it or not, we judge a book by its cover. I always tell kids not to, but I mean, when you walk into a store, into a, you know, a brick and mortar store and look at a book, you're going to judge it based on what's on the cover. If the cover's cheesy and looks cheaply made, then, you know, you might think that the writing might match up. Sometimes it doesn't, though, and it's really sad because I think that traditional publishers sometimes do the author a disservice by not letting them have the last input on the cover, because they're the person who created the story, and they should have, you know, be able to put in the essence of what's inside that book. But I know that it doesn't happen all the time. I mean, I think there's different levels of it, but it's kind of, I ask that a lot of authors just to see what their feelings on it are because I'm nosy mostly, but yeah, I mean, you know, you never know how it works. And people don't know how that works. And they're like, oh, that cover's awful. Don't blame me. It wasn't me, you know.
My people will tell you, I even call myself, and this is, somebody might get upset that I say this, but I am like a cover Nazi, because I nitpick at those suckers until they are 100% perfect. To me. Now, the cover itself might not represent what the story is, because I don't usually ask, what did you tell your designer that you wanted? Is this close to what you said when you filled out the form for your designer? Are they providing you with what it is you said you wanted? You know, and maybe I should, but once they send me, you know, the mock-up to tear it up, basically, you know, that's when I get into the nitpicky part, because it absolutely, at that part, if you're showing me your cover, you should know I'm going to tear it up unless it's absolutely perfect. And that is about 0.001% of the time that the cover comes to me and it's perfect. And it's a very, very rare. And I work closely with two cover designers. One of my authors is a cover designer, and then there's another one that's in the industry that several of my authors use. And they already know when I get something, I just pick and pick and pick and pick and pick until it's perfect. And I'm like, y'all, but no, you don't want me to, you know, don't send it to me unless you want me to tell you what's wrong with it. You know, like, this is shading here, this is blended here. You can see the white lines here. You know, I mean, it's just, and they don't, you know, and I do that because the eye buys, end of period. The eye buys, period. And if you have a crappy cover, it's not going to sell.
No.
You know, I mean, maybe unless your name's Colleen Hoover, it's not going to sell. You know,
right?
They
right.
could probably put anything, Jamie McGuire. They could put anything on the cover, and it would sell. But you know, a new author, some Joe Blow down the street. You know, I don't know. You can do that if you want to be seen. You got and people to remember you. You've got to have a kick butt cover because otherwise,
yeah.
they're not even going to give it a chance.
That it's so true though. I mean, it really, it's sad, but it's true. I think that's one reason why I like, I like to get the synopsis and not the cover because I hate being the librarian who judges books by covers, but I do too. I've actually picked up a lot of books that I would have probably never read just because the covers were so enticing. And they were not the type of thing that I would read. But ended up, you know, finding that they were enjoyable one way or the other. Maybe they were not the genre, you know, like I think historical fiction. But then I love historical fiction, but I don't like certain areas or eras. But if I find one with a cover that just calls out to me, I have to get it. So, but yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. So at least you have that kind of input with your authors. That's good.
They might not want it. Well, and then several of them are like, I bought it. Don't tell me you don't like it. And I'd be like, would you like me to tell you what's wrong with this thing? You know, so you can have it for free for it on the market. You know, or they'll be like, what do you think about this picture or this picture? What about this color or this color? And, you know, so, but yes, if they ask my opinion, they know I'm going to tear it up because so picky when it comes to covers. But that is the one thing that I don't ask, though, is if it matched the concept that they gave the designer. And sometimes, you know, it may not. And I should probably ask that first, but I don't because I just look at the piece that they gave me and then I'm like, this needs to be moved.
Yeah.
This, you know, the last. And then it just starts. You know, there's lists at the list at the list at the list.
You know? Right.
I know this one designer, she hates to see me coming because there's, you know, always something. This is, she rarely hits the nail on the head the very first time because I'm always so nitpicky about stuff.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. You're just doing the best job for your authors. So I think that's pretty cool, actually. Excuse me. So where would you start if you were an author and you've written a book, you've got a manuscript ready and you want to go talk to an agent? What would they want to look for?
Well, when you're looking for an agent, I would say that find somebody that represents people that are in your same genre, of course, because there are, you know, multiple genres out there. And do they represent people already that are in your same category? You know, like romance is a vast.
Right.
I don't read historical romance. I don't know that I would be the best agent for a historical romance author because I don't read it.
Right.
And I, you know, would be bored to tears. And that, please, people, do not be bashing me because I read
historical romance
when I was 12. Yes, my daughter is named for a historical romance novel character. I read it when I was 12, 13 years old. I'm done with historical romance. I mean, I don't know. It's just not my thing right now. And so I'm more into the suspense. I love, you know, like mystery and those kind of things, but I do, you know, paranormal, all those kind of things. So you want to find somebody that is going to best represent you. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, and I would say is an experienced person in that field, but hello, that just X's me out right there. But, you know, truthfully, I read, and like I said, a lot of the authors that I represent, they write contemporary romance and suspense, mm-hmm. and that's a lot of what I read. So, you know, I know, and I still read, you know, I'm still reviewing for my blog, so I'm reading what their peers are writing. So I kind of know from traditional markets and also the indie market what's out there, who's doing what.
Yeah.
And that's kind of from the agent perspective. Can I say I'm cheating a little bit? I did that today with the angst book that I submitted. I'm reading an author that writes romantic suspense, and I looked up who the editor was that bought this manuscript. And I sent her the angst book. You know, I mean,
this is how
I am figuring out how to do this kind of stuff. In my mind, if she likes this particular author, she's got to like mine, you know?
That makes perfect sense, because as a librarian, that's what we do. We say, oh, you like this book? Well, here's one similar, you know? So same thing.
Yes. So I think if you're looking for an agent, you got to find one that's taking new clients, because there, I think, are some that aren't. And then ones that are doing stuff for their clients. So, like, I don't think particularly – I tried to look up the lady that is the agent for Charlaine Harris, because I love Charlaine Harris. So I wanted to see, you know, like kind of like what her website looked like, what she, you know, who else that she represented. And I was sorely disappointed. I'm going to get in so much trouble for saying this on your show. But, you know, like her website that I found, it was not built, you know, like it wasn't
user-friendly.
She doesn't really have she doesn't have a whole lot of anything on there. And it just really kinda, you know, I was kinda like, okay, so is Charlaine your only client?
Yeah.
You know, which might be, because Lord knows that woman's got a lot of stuff.
Right, right. She might have made her fortune
well
and just stuck it out. Yeah.
Exactly. She could have, you know, with all the books and the movies and the TV shows, all that kind of stuff, she's got her hands full with just that one person alone.
Yeah.
So it's not like
Jerry
she's
Maguire.
Not doing a fantastic job. Right. That's exactly right. Yes. Show me the money.
That's right. That was hilarious.
Yes, that is exactly right. So, I mean, it just depends on who you're submitting. And, like, where do you want to go in your career? What do you want from your agent?
Mm-hmm.
I have authors that do not want to be traditionally published.
Right.
But they do want foreign translations for their books, and they want audio.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, your agent has to, you know, the person that you pick should, or, you know, several that you solicit to, I think, should represent and understand what your needs are, what you want from your material.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to push those that don't want to be traditionally published into traditional, you know, publishing. It's, you know, if they don't want to do it, then why should I make them do something they don't want to do? Because then they'll give me crappy manuscript and
You can't sell it.
You know?
Yeah.
That's the way to get back at me for forcing them into the traditional market. Here, I'll give you crap work for forcing me to do this. Well, I don't want that to happen. So I just really think that it has to be definitely somebody that's in your same genre, has like people in your category, and, you know, is definitely somebody that's willing to work with your particular needs. Now, you might not know that until you interview with them.
Right.
But, you know, you can, you know, chat if they are interested in taking you on. I would definitely ask for, you know, a phone interview, so that you could ask them questions about what they do for their clients, and, you know, because I'm sure I have seen it in emails from other entities that there are agents out there that act like agents but aren't. You know, they charge you for XYZ services, and they're just looking to make money off of you in other ways besides selling your material.
Right. Yeah, I've heard that too. Unfortunately, and it's sad that that exists. But there are good people out there that have a passion for books and really want to see, like you, who want to see authors reach the pinnacle of whatever they decide their pinnacle is. Yeah, and like you said, they may not want, I mean, everybody, I think, when they sit down to write a book, everybody always assumes that that oh yeah, I want this to go to, you know, Random House and be sold across the world and blah, blah, blah. But some people may not see that for themselves, because there are, you know, I talk a lot about with authors who are hybrids about, you know, the drawbacks of both sides of publishing, you know, the traditional, the small houses and the self-publishing, and you know, what's the drawbacks, what's the advantages, and you know, there's a give and take to some of that. So I can understand why people might be a little hesitant maybe to go, you know, to the big six or big five, whatever they are now. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Whichever. I don't know how you how they classify that. But
yeah, you know, if they want to maintain a little more control of their work, then sometimes they don't want to go that route. So it makes perfect sense to me. So it's good that you have a good sense of, like you said, knowing your agent has a good sense of what you want is really important. So, and so does it usually start with a query? Do you usually get the query process going? Do they send you queries, or at least the first authors you got, you were already working with, but is that how it works for you for submissions?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I have that on my website on a submission page. I did actually, one of the 13 that I have, she actually did query me, and I picked her because I had not read her before, but I read her, you know, before I actually took her on as a client, and so she did submit, you know, a query to me, and I think she submitted queries to other agents as well, and I was just lucky to kind of be the one to snag her. So that is good. And I know that I do have, so if y'all are listening that have submitted queries to me, I know that I have 5 or 6 of them in my inbox that I just have not been able to get to. And that's the hard part. You know, like I know that I would love to be able to get back to someone within a 4-week time period mm-hmm. to check their stuff out. And I understand that, that I should be more reasonable about that. You know, it's just sometimes it is so hard.
Oh yeah.
You know, with the blog stuff, the family stuff, the show, the signing, and you know, and then doing the you know, all the stuff for the ones that I've already signed. It does take a little longer, and so I feel bad because I know that I have people sitting in there waiting to hear something from me, but I just have not been diligent in responding back to them because, you know, I just have to bite the
But now we know. Now we know why it takes a while to get back from agents and editors, because there is a lot of stuff to do. There's a lot more than just reading queries. So, yeah.
Yes, yes. And it's the same, you know, with agents like or with editors, because, you know, they are editing the stories that they buy, and they're sitting in on meetings, and they're validating their acquisitions and all that kind of stuff. There is a big, you know, it is kind of they're going to get a laugh out of this. It is kind of irritating because, you know, you want to hear from them like yesterday on something that you sent them today. And it's like, come on, I know you want to buy this, but they might not read your submission for a week or two after you even sent it, or even longer. You know, some editors, you know, publishers say that it could take up to 12 weeks to hear.
Yeah, I've heard that.
From, you know, crazy. From somebody, and it's like, golly.
Yeah, that seems crazy, but yeah, that, you know, they can only have so many people working, otherwise they would never make any money off of it. And yeah, I mean, you got to make money, so just like you do. So
yes, exactly. Yeah. And so you just kind of have to keep plugging. And I think, you know, that's why people solicit to more than one publisher at a time, you know, the story, because somebody might buy it for the other, you know, and you have bid wars and yada yada yada. But it's that's for the more popular, you know, people. you know, there's you know, like auctions that I never even knew about, you know, for stuff that people are going to like want to hop on really quickly, and that's for a lot of the big wigs, you know, celebrities and stuff like that, for their material that people want to be the first to get. So the agent for them will auction off that material, you know, and so cool little thing, I suppose, if I'm ever, you know, big enough to have a Hollywood tally on my list. I think that would be kind
yeah.
of cool.
Yeah.
You know, that's got to be.
Sky's the limit, mm-hmm. though. You know, you never know. You never know.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yes, it is. That is a pain. And I really do need, you know, like a full-time assistant. But there again, it's like,
that's another,
what do I
another,
pay them with?
That's right. That's another expense. Yeah.
Yes. The government should find some way to pay me to stay at home with my children while my husband works. And then I can make, you know, some kind of something, something. And that would help with.
I say that every day. Yeah. I think motherhood should be considered a disability. And you should get a paycheck for it or something. I don't know. I can't work right now. I just can't. My son, I can't put him in, you know, daycare or anything because of the way he is. And so I would think that I should get a paycheck, right? Yeah, I swear.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Exactly.
Anyway. So we've got you coming down to Houston for our RWA conference, and you're going to be doing your first pitch taking. Are you nervous?
Yes. Yes. That's something else I was thinking of. You know, it's like really, there is, how do you do stuff like that? I mean, I'm sure it'll be great, you know, and I'm really nervous that I'm going to love every single story, and then I'll be like, here's my contract, sign it, you know, but then again, I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings and be like, you need to go back to the drawing board on this one because, you know?
Yeah.
Really, that's the hard part is going to be that face-to-face rejection, you know, that I just don't really want to have to let anybody down. It's
no,
like,
I understand.
Sorry, this one's not for me kind of thing. But, that's the I am looking forward to. I think it's going to be a huge learning experience. And you have so many great people coming to the conference. I think it'll just be, I might even have, you know, like rose colored glasses on with all these great people.
It's going to be a blast. It's going to be a blast. And I think you'll find that, you know, people, we, at least our chapter, we have a large variety of different types of authors and at different stages. So you're going to find something there. So it'll be cool. It'll be cool. I'm excited.
I'm looking forward to meeting the editors, too, because it'll be the first ones that I've met in a professional capacity, you know, like working alongside them with these kind of, you know, kind of things.
And
I have,
Candace,
you know,
Evans,
I have met.
Like, so, yeah, excited about that. I just put a little fangirl on Candace Havens, but that's okay. So, anyway.
Yes. Well, you know, I'll do that about authors, and you could do that about editors, and yes, we'll mesh them to be the perfect pair.
There you go. Well, thanks so much for being on tonight, and I know it went really, really fast, and I have a million other questions to ask you, and maybe, like, I don't know, 6 months after you've been into this, we can talk again and see how things have gone, you know, for you as you progress through this melee of the publishing world, but
yes. To see how many sales I've had.
Mm-hmm. I did
have my first sale
this
month.
Awesome.
So I am very excited. It's an audio sale.
Great.
Macaulay Smeltzer, that I represent, she's an indie author, and her book The Game That Breaks Us was sold to Tantor Media. So it should. They're working on the audio and all that kind of good stuff right now. And
that's awesome.
We should have it, you know, out. I say we. Tantor should have it out.
We?
You know, like I have a huge amount of responsibility for this process. But they, we've already approved the narrators. So I think they're already starting on the project. And then now they're working on the cover to see, you know, to fit the cover art to the audio. And Regina Wambaugh from May I Design is the original cover designer. And so she's working with Tantor on fixing, you know, however you shrink that.
Yeah,
cover to audio.
It's true magic to me, but yes.
Yes, exactly. So we hope to have that ready for Macaulay's readers in early 2017. I mean, I would say, I don't know. I'm not part of that process, so I'm thinking like January, but we don't have an official release date from them yet, so it'll
well,
be
congratulations.
A few months.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yay. You're cheerleading.
So one sale under my belt already.
There
so
you go. All it takes is the one to get the ball rolling. So you're good. You're good. Well, thank you. Like I said, yes. I'm so glad we had this opportunity and for people to kind of see the flip side of the industry. And I got to interview you, and so you be an interviewer. So that was kind of fun.
Yes, most definitely.
And, again, I'd like to have you back on later on down the road when we can talk a little more about it, and I'll see you in about a week. So that's
very
cool.
I'm excited. Yes, thank you. I'm happy to do that.
And give everybody your website real quick so they can look up SBR Media. Is it just it's just SBRmedia.com. I'm sorry. Am I choking you to death?
Excuse me. I'm getting all choked up here.
Oh.
Yes, it is. It is www.SBR, S as in Sam, B as in boy, R as in Randy, media.com. And something, I don't know, one of those things. It's in... yes, it does need a little bit of updating. I have a few authors to add to the list that aren't up there, but it does have the submission requirements under the submission page and the email address in order to do so for that.
Fantastic. Wonderful. So if you got something out there that you think fits, go ahead and send it in and check out the website. All right.
Yes,
well, I will see you in about
a
week.
It'll be a little while before I answer.
Yeah. Because I've got her down for big parties next weekend, so you guys are going to just have to wait.
Right. Exactly.
Yep. Again, thanks so much for being on, and you have a great night, and I'll see you next weekend.
Thanks, Tabitha. Yes, looking forward to it. Thank you.
All right. And thank you to everybody for listening. Friday, yes. Thanks, everybody, for listening in tonight. I'll be back in about 30 minutes with my next guest, but you can catch me here next Thursday night at 9 p.m., Eastern, duh. And thanks a lot. Have a great evening.
Bye-bye.